The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the 242, the counterfeit. So tell Tita, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, a smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 31st of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And as today is the 31st of August, we have a very important message for you. This is the final opportunity to save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. This offer ends today, August 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778. That's a toll-free number. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I really encourage you particularly to use both methods, both telephone and email, but they should provide sort of a receipt. So even if they can't get back to you today to confirm receipt of said email, it is in their system that you send the email on the 31st of August and before the 1st of September. I think that's very important. Like, I wouldn't even be mad if you said, Miss Green, like, I turned down the radio so I could go make this call and tell these people I'm serious about saving my things. Good morning. My guests today are Mr. Matt Aubrey and Mr. Tate Adley from Organization for Responsible Government. Now, I'm introducing them now because I'm going to do a little bit of what's in the news and touch on some topics. But the things that I usually touch on and what's in the news are really all about what we're talking about today. So I've introduced them early in the show so they, if they feel so inspired, can contribute to the discourse. Before we get into the show, I have a very important notice. I have some very special happy birthdays to send out today. First of all, I want to send a happy birthday to Miss Odaz Benaby Lightburn, former co-host on Guardian, always a member of the Guardian family. Happy, happy birthday, my friend, my little cuz. Also, happy birthday to Harry Davis, a.k.a. Kevin, a.k.a. Cousin Harry, a.k.a. Manicure Ramp Cleanup Man, a.k.a. Miss I Will Clean Your Lion Fish For You If None Of These Boy Them Want To Clean It. You make the money selling the fish and I'll make the money cleaning it. Happy birthday, Harry. Harry is an example of a model Bahamian man. And it's another one of those men, if I had some churins, I would want my churins to know this man. Also, another very special happy birthday to my brother, from a different mother, Mr. William Bernard Pacenti Green. Happy birthday, my brother. I miss you, I love you, and don't mind, I see y'all with all the scarlet plum up in Grand Bahama this year, and y'all ain't send none down. That's okay, I still love you with all my heart, And I miss you. Happy birthday, brother. My. Listen, I never been so happy to tell people happy birthday. Anyway, there's some special people in my life, and I hope you all are having a wonderful, wonderful day today. I have to say good morning to some other people, but it's a slightly different type of good morning. I want to say good morning to Avid 4. You see the Mercedes with the FNM flags. I want to say good morning to you, and I want to say thank you because you are the person that inspired my intro this morning. See, yesterday I asked the PLP rep a question. How will you, your government, your party, your constituency team, right, how will you cause or compel Bahamians to discipline themselves and to encourage others to do the same? See, that's one of the biggest questions in leadership. You could come to me with all kinds of fancy ideas, but how are you going to try and keep the light on? How are you going to try and keep the digital communication services up and running? You come to me with all kinds of fanciness, but how are you going to keep the potholes filled in the road? But there's some real basic questions that you need to be able to answer before you could assume leadership. And one of them is, how will you cause or compel those around you, those that you are responsible for, your peers, your colleagues in government, how will you cause them to discipline themselves? And see, now the FNM party is the grand recipient of some annoyance because one of your supporters round here just pulling off the most amazing moves. And I want to say, I guess maybe I should say thank you for almost killing us directly in front of the hospital, because we wouldn't have to wait for no ambulance. I could have just, you know, dragged myself right into A&E to sit on the floor for 17 hours, because it doesn't matter what type of healthcare you can afford. Right now, none of it's accessible to anybody, right? That question is one of the most important questions a candidate should be considering. See, it's like when you involved in criminal activity, like when you involved in gang culture, and you gotta vouch for somebody, right? You gotta vouch for them. That means if they mess up, you also get the penalty that they get. And that's when the question becomes, like, what's the word, Matt? More salient, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think like what you're talking about is kind of self-determination, right? So So your ability to manage yourself, not just based on your basic needs, but at relationship to others and what that means, right?
Right.
And I think it's a tough question because a lot in our culture, a lot in our governance doesn't reinforce that if you follow the rules, things will work out for you. So by going around and doing your own thing and, you know, cutting a line or driving just however you want, no matter who else is on the road, the emphasis is on, well, they better watch out for themselves because I'm watching out for myself. And that's hard to build a culture of self-determination around. So So making sure that things in the environment work like they're supposed to, or that there's better understanding between all of us, can also lead to that kind of self-determination. If I understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and you understand why I'm doing it, we can at least come to some level of accord where I am conscious of what my actions will do to you, whether that means, you know, run you off the road, or whether that means, you know, me cutting a line at a government service means you got to wait, you know, an hour longer.
Right.
We've got to figure that part out and make sure that we have reliable enough systems for us to believe that if we act in a reasonable and considerate way, we won't be left at the back of the pack.
A disadvantage. Right. And I like that you used a different word, right, from discipline. Because I'm about to say, discipline isn't always like Matt Aubrey has laid out. It isn't all, I don't know if I have an authentic police voice. Come here before I slap your teeth out your mouth. Come here, young man, why you shade out your pants? Discipline isn't always that, right?
Well, and that will determine someone not doing something at that moment. But it doesn't do what we call, you know, in the sense of integrity, doing the right thing even when no one's watching.
Right, when you know you ought to do it.
Right. Right. And that's a key goal I think we should shoot for.
And so the discipline of maintaining systems, right? So when I come to the office, when anybody comes to the office, they can reasonably expect to receive the services that's being advertised versus being faced with, oh, well, we can't get to those papers because Ms. So-and-so didn't come to work today, and she's the only one with the key, and there was another key, but we lost it, and we didn't get it replaced. And see, that's a lack of discipline in a system that ultimately affects other people negatively, right? And if you're a civil servant and you're sitting in the system, right, and you're saying, well, it may affect these people, but, you know, they start off poor. I ain't make them poor.
Right.
But it's also affecting the people that you're serving. It affects the government that has attempted to put a policy in place but can't understand why the policy is not achieving the results or producing the results expected. It's because of a lack of discipline.
Well, and also the solution ultimately comes to it, and I know we're getting big and philosophical from the get-go, but it comes to the fact that we each have a part to play.
Yeah.
And it's not on one thing. It's not on government to set the tone, and then people will eventually get in line. We have to do it ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not on just people in the civil service or people out. We have to not only set the tone of what is our expectation, be able to identify that, be able to feel like we can do something about it when we don't see that, and then the responsiveness on the other side of folks in government or even this happens in a business, that there is some level of accountability. That I'm supposed to act a certain way that's expected of me, but that will also be reinforced when I do that, right? We think about the discipline or somebody getting in trouble when they don't do something, but that's not really how we mostly learn. We mostly learn to do things when they work out for us.
Right.
So if I go around the system and it works out for me,
I'm gonna continue to look for a hookup.
Right. So figuring out ways to forward that is that we're trying to. You know, they talk about this borrowing from my wife's language, they talk about positive reinforcement. Reinforcement is what we need. We need to show things that show people the benefits of acting in a certain way. We're all in circumstances right now that are difficult and challenged because of the environment, COVID, Dorian, mm-hmm. and our current economic scenario, the lack of tourism. And there's a lot that we're going to have to deal with in the coming years that are going to hurt. They're going to be less positive. We have to, you know, whether it be an increase in costs on things or not as much money to invest in certain, whatever that might be, we have to figure out some kind of plan that shows us that if we do these things that maybe aren't as positive in the short term, there'll be benefits for us in the long term, mm-hmm. that we believe in, that mean jobs for us and better environment and education for our kids and those types of things. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of actionable and sustainable change that I think we need to talk and kind of push and advocate for these folks that are coming looking for our votes now, right?
Right. And for me, this whole question of discipline, right?
Right.
Because at the root of the discipline for the individual is the question, I think you iterated it earlier, is how do I know I ought to do?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do what I know I should do when I know I should do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the personal discipline that we're talking about there. And how do we grow that
mm-hmm.
culture? And I want to say grow that culture again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that culture isn't foreign to me.
Right.
It's not like we grew up in a vacuum of that, without that. But it's troubling to me to see how many people have, in the face of the reinforcement that you talk mm-hmm. about, something that worked for me, how many people, it seems, are committed to what I call the counterculture,
mm-hmm.
the hookup, right? In a country where the majority of us, like, we're in charge of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we have the power and the agency and even the constitutional provisions
right.
on our side to change the law and the systems and make them more favorable, more effective, more efficient, right? More judicious and balanced. Like, we have the power in our hands to fix the system, but instead of doing the work of fixing the system, mm-hmm. we're all about the place looking for a hookup, a backdoor.
I think there's a portion of folks, not to be the Pollyanna on this, but I think there's also others who are working quite diligently mm-hmm. at the other side. This thing we're going to talk about today, it's the product of young Bahamians, smart, dynamic folks who already have been speaking out and doing good things to make change in their country, to come together and give of their own time and work with a group like ours to put something out that's going to better the scenario. So the challenge is, you know, we pay a lot of attention to the negatives. You know, you had to pay attention to the person who will run you over, run you off the street. Yeah. There also were probably countless folks around you doing what they're supposed to, driving in reasonable methods, you know, doing, how are they reinforced? How do we put the emphasis on, like, let's grow more of that. Let's focus on those folks and give them the shout outs. You know, it's important to shame those that are not doing well, but how do we make sure that those folks that are actually doing what they need to do and probably taking a hit because that person driving crazy got to their location sooner than y'all did, right?
Yeah.
So how do we put the emphasis to reinforce with folks that doing the right thing actually has some great benefits?
Absolutely. Kermit, I see we got a caller on the line there. Let's go to the caller. But when you said that, that made me think of the food store parking lot. You know, people who like to cut those corners to try to get ahead of you. Right. And then have to stare you in your face. But they're good at it. They've learned, people have learned to stare you in your face and don't say nothing.
Right.
It's a skill. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
What?
Good morning.
You know, we like to talk going on, right?
Hold on, you're breaking up a little bit. Repeat that for me.
We like to talk about growing the economy, right?
Yeah.
And creating new business, creating new jobs. But the jobs we create is always slave jobs, slave paying jobs. You see, we give incentives, right, that are tax-free. You know, so where did that leave the government? You know, every grand plan, there's some tax exemption. Oh, we're going to grow your launch economy, but everybody in that economy is tax-free. Come on now. How does that work? Hello?
Hi. So, sorry, just for a second. Well, Matt. You want to respond?
No, and I think it's a fair question. I'm not sure exactly the component you're speaking to, but when new plans come out, there's talks about investments in areas, and most often what you've seen in this last year is that those opportunities are put through some allowance of business license fees or that purchasing items for development in family islands or those economic zones are VAT free or exempt from duty, those incentives that are put together.
So in other words, what you're doing is you're creating businesses and they're not and then you give them every day thing as tax.
I got you. Right.
And everybody's not gonna own a business. Vast majority of us are gonna be the workers. We're gonna be the slave workers in these same businesses that you create.
We actually did some work on assessing small, micro, small, mid-sized businesses in Grand Bahama and Abaco that were affected after Dorian and now affected after COVID. And what we found is that a lot of people have the side gig, right? They got just a little something on the side. And you know, they got their other business, but they're baking on the side, or they're selling produce, or they're making juices, or you know, they do a little repair or whatever. Those are actually businesses, and we don't record them, we don't support those folks. So finding ways that as you hold your regular day-to-day job, that you're also able to find ways to be more entrepreneurial, there is some value to that because it builds a local economy. Mm-hmm. So we've got to support that. But in doing so, and I think what you're saying, caller, and I agree, is we have to understand what difference that makes to everybody.
Hold on, repeat that, caller.
Everybody are not going to be entrepreneurs. The world don't work like that.
Right, and that's cool.
60% of us are not going to be business entrepreneurs in any business at all. Perhaps 70% of us.
True.
And what happens then?
Well, see, let's then re-examine what we think about when we say business, right? Like what we call enterprises or what we call hustles, right?
But there's still a small percentage of us.
But what Matt is saying is that you would be surprised that in this particular type of economy, so for example, it's only been this whole year-round mega resort tourism model. This is a very recent model. And before this model, the tourism worker, I would argue, was more resilient and a stronger force in the market or a stronger economic force because they knew that they couldn't rely on tourism year-round. They knew that there was a major peak and a major a low season, and that in that low season, they needed to figure out how they were going to survive. I think that this is such a fascinating discussion, particularly when we shift our perspective on what business is and how capitalism operates.
There's a thing called business, right? There's a thing called employers as well as employees. You can't just all of a sudden say, hell, there's no such thing as employees.
Yes, we can. I can tell you right now how. Let me tell you right now how. Because bartering isn't illegal. See, if you use a different economic model, everything slightly changes. There is no employer-employee in the bartering system, right? And that's something that we could begin to use. And those little models or those little enterprises or hustles wouldn't be considered businesses. So
they estimated
what's going on is the employee has nothing to bother with.
But they estimated, there was a research done by the IDB looking at this this dynamic across the Caribbean. And in the Bahamas, they estimated that 20 to 30% of our GDP could be matched by these small side things if we knew what they were and could help identify and grow them.
I aim to recognize them and measure. Hold on, and measure them. Hold on, because I gotta go. I got another call on the line.
If we access all the revenue that's in these industries, right? And then what you gonna do with this revenue?
Okay, cool, great. I got you. I cut it down. Let me respond to you, right? See, absolutely. I got about three shows I'm gonna have now from this conversation. What are we going to do with that revenue? This is what I'm saying. In the traditional capitalist system, these are intangibles. You don't know where to put the money. But if we change our perspective on how we interact with each other, even in economic systems, right, then what we're going to do with the money is create a formal mechanism where communities will enjoy the taxation from these enterprises in their communities. It won't go into the consolidated fund. And communities can work as single constituencies or in groups of constituencies to invest in projects or in schools or in resources for underprivileged people in the community in a formal mechanism that can exist with your traditional capitalist structure. That's why I say the conversation is fascinating. And it's a conversation that I would want to pull candidates to the table for, to really hear them and the breadth of ideas, the scope of ideas, because it is possible. I'm mad at you, caller, because it seemed like you rooted in a these things are impossible kind of vibe.
Well, I think one of the things, and again, to swing us back mm-hmm. to the original topic was, and I think the caller needs to be commended, is these are the times by which you're supposed to ask these kind of questions.
Exactly.
The folks that are out there looking to represent you, you should be able to use sufficiently before you decide that they're the one you want to represent them.
Absolutely. Another caller, you're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. What's up,
hey,
man?
Good morning. How you do?
And good morning to Mr. Albrecht.
Good morning.
I have a question to ask you, Mr. Albrecht, and then I want to say something after that. Okay, don't you think it's time that the government, whether it's this government or the future government, God spare life, to implement some sort of income tax on those people who don't pay tax, like the persons who bank account is or their income is so much of money and the only thing happens in that situation as you can see, and from your experience, it trickles down to the poor man.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, don't you think it's time that they implement some sort of income tax?
Well, I think any level of taxation, and our conversation always goes back to this, as we mm-hmm. explore taxation, and that's how we kind of got started, was after the first VAT taxes. There was a big push from folks in the private sector and civil society to make sure that if we're going to do this thing, it's done right with the right measures, with the right economic modeling, with the right information to make sure that whatever monies are gathered are used as appropriately and that the laws that need to support that are put in place. And that started us. So now when you ask that question, I think there's mm-hmm. two things that we come back to. And mm-hmm. it's kind of answering a question without answering the question, I guess. One mm-hmm. is that those who pay taxes, there should be a major push. And I know there has been, there should be more to make sure that those that are owed come back. That there are ways to mechanism that. The other thing is that the balance of, if there's going to be taxation, then it has to be a balance of making sure that government spending is as effective and efficient as possible. To get into a system that may waste that money or not use it effectively doesn't solve what we ultimately need to deal with. So I think it's you have to look at both in the same mechanism.
Economically, as you see it right now, Mr. Albury, in the country, for us to try to get some sort of revenue to come into the country, because as I understand it from people, that we spend in more than we actually bringing in.
Yeah.
So what do you foresee as some sort of taxation, or how do you see it in the future for this country to try to push ahead just a little bit of above the water in this economical time?
Thank you very much, Ms. Green.
You have a good day.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. I think you're right. We have to look at every source possible. All I'm saying is that as looking at those sources, we got to make sure that the things we've already set up actually work to hold that money that we gather. Because when we get it from new sources, what can happen is it's new money that goes in but doesn't get used in the way it's supposed to, which you would see the benefit of, right?
Absolutely. Look here. Every time I pay VAT on VAT, every time I pay pay a VAT on a tax, look here, I hear, it sounds like my mother asking me to lend her $20. Like, I know I ain't never getting the money back. It just don't sound or feel right.
The report we saw with the IMF money is you saw that most of that money was used, or a big portion of that money was used, to pay back obligations for debts that we haven't necessarily seen the benefit from yet. It's borrowing on borrowing. Yeah. So we got to fix that too, piece.
And I figured that's where my mother got her borrowing plan from, right?
I'm a big fan of your mother. I can't
listen. if I wasn't a victim of her, I would love it too. But it's like, from she found out that the U.S. owes China $3 trillion, like, this debt thing may be a scam, right? But listen, I got two callers. Let's go to them quickly, and then we're going to get into this new project that Org has on the table.
Great.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning,
Aaron.
Hey.
I'm your guest.
Yes, sir.
Now, it's probably to me, right? That government, this government, don't have a COVID-19 drug policy. That you to the rich,
man,
the pop will be sick for 3 days.
Listen,
because they took a drug called Regeneron. That if you're not sick, you have an 85% chance you'll not be hospitalized.
Okay.
And you know, the state of Florida giving it up for free.
All right.
The people on millions, right?
Okay.
And if you're sick, you take Remdesivir.
Okay,
why
thank you.
Why can't our government buy it?
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. Thank you. I'm going to engage Matt on it. Because, no. For me, what it is with all the pandemic talk, all the vaccine talk, I'm disappointed in the lack of clearly structured, a lack of information and clearly, soundly structured mechanisms through which people can access that information and ask questions and have them answered. And one of the things as a voter I would like to hear from every party or see from every party is a substantive, that mean real. That mean when you was doing math in high school and in school and they tell you show the work, a substantive policy, right? This is what we expect, even, you know, with what they call it, planning. Mm-hmm. I know Gilbert Morris is
Right.
It's a sort of a policy expert in the sense with the language, but even with premonition or forecasting.
Right, forecasting.
Right? A, B, C,
right.
Right? This is what our options are. Something real that people could.
And I think it's a key point, and people are going to want to understand their way out of this. And I think we all would like to find that piece of information that says this is how it's all going to be solved. But I do think you're right. It needs to be a little bit better channeled, structured, and people need to have a comfort to say the information I'm getting is comprehensive. Because I think there's a general sentiment that maybe there's something people are not paying attention to or hiding or all
and
that kind
and
of
a larger scope of information.
Right. Right.
I think that the powers that be haven't taken into account all of the elements that are impacted by the restrictions, by their decisions, and by the very nature of the pandemic and the decision-making process in a pandemic.
And in every way, the key point is know the source. Know where it's coming from. Like, make sure that information is solid and reliable and in the right context, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Green, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, The first caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like you said, he made sense. But what I wanted him to know is that, you know, he got to think business-wise, you know what I mean? Because I remember there was a Haitian friend of mine. He used to plant peas.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to, I said, "Man, you plant these peas. You know what you could do with this? You have all these peas." And she was like, "What I could do?" So I tell her, "Say, just go to those local stores, put it in a little clear bag."
Mm-hmm.
I just, sell it to the local stores. And you wouldn't believe it. She went to a couple of local stores, and she was in business.
Yeah.
So you got to think business-wise, you know what I mean? You know, anything you could invent or come up with, even something new,
mm-hmm.
you could use that and use the same thing.
Okay? Listen, I sell VAT soap. Soap to bait off your urine, right?
Yeah,
it's inexpensive soap. And but mine, I realized that there's a whole bunch of fancy soap makers in the country. There's a ton of industry making fancy soap for fancy people like tourists, but nobody making soap for regular people to bathe regular date off their regular children.
And according to this time, with all these prices and fast and things, so that people will be glad to buy cheap local food. You know what I mean?
Inexpensive.
The cost of living is so high.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Thank you. And just as we go to this break, I want to remind our listeners, on Friday, I had guests from the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services on, mm-hmm. talking about their new semester of virtual courses. And I want to remind people that they have new courses on blockchain technology and cryptocurrency, classes on real estate and even property management. And I want to say, in this instance, like the caller said, it's a great way to grow your understanding of business and how you can participate in it on a small scale, a medium scale, or a large scale. Thank you very much, caller. That is inspiring. I know a lot of young people don't realize that you could make money on local agriculture in your own country. Anyway, Kermit, now is a great time to go to the break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about the new pre-election handbook 2021 Snap Election Edition, produced by Organization for Responsible Governance. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. And sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and we're about to take a look at the pre-election handbook 2021 snap election edition. So if you have any questions about the handbook or any questions about the conversation we've been having this morning, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. You could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. So, Matt, tell us about the handbook before I start asking you my own questions.
That's okay. So this is a project that the Organization for Responsible Governance has been working on for a while. In leading up to the election, we've been putting forward voter registration information, how to transfer your address, all of the information that's available. And while that's been happening, a group of dedicated volunteers, all of whom are young, talented, dynamic Bahamians, have been working to put together a resource. They anticipated that the election, of course, would be a little bit further down the line. Mm-hmm. But the work that they had done when the snap election was called, they were able to quickly rally and put together a key piece of information and resource that folks could use in advance of this election coming on the 16th. This is a result of partnership between the Organization for Responsible Governance, Spectrum Politics, Probe, Gen Z Arise, The Millennial Voice, and Boykin G. Smith, who is himself a candidate.
So listen, people lobbying for zombie rights? What is Gen Z Arise? What is this madness?
All of these are these young, vibrant groups that are coming forward and creating a voice and working towards actionable and sustainable change in the Bahamas. And I think that's when we talk about who to be paying attention to. Folks, these are who we should be paying attention to, because we need to clear the lane and let them do what they can do.
Absolutely.
So they came together and they looked and they said, what do folks need to know in advance of this election? So the kit is a resource online available at Org Transparency. You'll look for the section on voter resources and you'll see the kit as well as a bunch of information, including all the candidates that would have been nominated, information about how to find out if you're a special voter, if you could do advanced polling, which the deadline is the 4th of September. But contained within the kit, you're going to find basic information on elections, on what is national development, your role, but also very functional information about how you can participate and make sure that your vote matters the most. So when folks are coming to ask you for information, ask for your votes, what we have is we have information about what that's going to look like, mm-hmm. but also questions that you can start to ask them so that they understand what your priorities are. Very often, folks will come forward and tell you about a promise of what they're going to do when they're elected. We think it's really critical that voters are asking questions to make sure they understand the plan behind that promise, so that once that person may have been elected, that they actually can follow through realistically on what they said they would be able to do.
All right. Stick a pin with plan behind a promise, and let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to Mr. Albury.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning to all your listeners. And the callers who have called, they are brilliant Bahamians. The key point, Brother Albury, and to the hostess, is this. The situation is critical in the individual Bahamian lives. We need the present government that is still there now and the leader of the opposition and his group of persons to comprehend on this morning, this last day of August 2021, that the Bahamian people, the individual Bahamians who are sick from comorbidities cannot wait. Okay, and like I have heard some messages from that for the morning, that they will, some things will be prioritized, and that's fine. What I am saying today to everyone who want to lead this great country, our nation is a nation of laws. Our people must repent as it relates to this view, that our nation is a nation of laws. We have, remember, the law comes first. That's why God gave us our judges after the death of Joshua. I don't have to go into all of that, but I'm just simply saying we are not just subservient people. We are the inheritance of Yahweh Elohim as individual nations and people. and individuals who will accept, yes, the Constitution gives everyone the right to choose their path in life.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I appreciate there is the understanding that we have to take the helm in turning mm-hmm. the country in the direction we want it to go in. Thank you. Thank you, Amos. It's important for other Bahamians to hear how committed or how passionate, you know, Bahamians are about positive change.
And I think that's a key message, is that change is possible, and it is within your grasp to be able to do so. I think it can be very defeating when people think about the challenges in their lives or in their neighborhoods or their communities or in the nation and feel like, what can my one thing do, my one vote? But the truth is, not only is your vote matter, but how you use that vote and then how you follow that vote can mm-hmm. matter. And we talk a lot about that here.
But listen, one second. Look at how I can never go back to Grand Bahama. Is Mr. Adley Tate, you on the line? Tate, you still there? Mama don't want my friend Tate to be great. Right, and that's what happened. It must have been a connectivity issue with Mr. Adley. I'm so sorry. Is that you, Mr. Adley? No, not there. All right. That's my bad. My apologies,
that's
Matt.
Okay. The passion you have just keeps going.
What you said just now took me to another point in the election mm-hmm. handbook about understanding national and community development, right?
Hello?
Hi, good morning, Tate.
Hey, sorry, I think my headphones are acting up a bit. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Sorry, I just realized that Matt and I were here having a good time and we forget to call in Grand Bahama. I don't want you all to see this is another part of the discussion, right? Grand Bahama as an island should be able to make some decisions on their own without the input of Nassau people.
Sure.
Right?
I agree.
Right. So I don't want you all to get mad and decide I can't come to Grand Bahama because I didn't unmute you.
Everything's good, Aaron. Everything's good. I'm sure of it, okay?
Absolutely. So let's jump in.
But I would say, Tate, if he can, could answer that question very well, because he was one of the folks that built this tool.
Absolutely. I was particularly interested and excited about the section understanding national and community development. And just sort of linking it to what Matt said just now, I think it's important for voters when talking to candidates and campaigners to sort of understand the difference between development at a national level and development at a community level. And also in terms of how we do how we do politics in this town. When we focus level development, that's a real space for young people in particular to get involved in governance and the process of governance. So tell us a bit about the importance of understanding national and community development.
Well, I think in our current system, we have some issues, that is, especially with local government, because as we see, there's a lot of Nassau centrism.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, we have all the focus being on Nassau. But when it comes to the stuff like the outer islands, I think a lot of stuff is missed out, in a sense, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's also critical, and that's part of why the inclusion in the kit is for folks to distinguish between when somebody who's supposed to represent them is asking and saying what that means for their local community versus what the role nationally might be, and that there are things in the process of national development that you may not see a direct benefit right in your neighborhood, but it doesn't mean that it may not be a beneficial issue or critical step forward for the nation, and there can be benefits mm-hmm. for that. But there has to be a clear understanding that it does somehow link back to you on your island or your community or your neighborhood.
And one thing, when we look at culturally how we in New Providence think about the archipelago, right? When we are in New Providence complaining about the cost of gas, it's obvious that we've never considered it the impact or the implication for Family Islanders. Because if it's $5.29 here in New Providence, then trust me, it's $7 in Grand Bahama and it's $12 in Mayaguana.
Well, actually, I mean, not to be picky, but fortunately, the gas here is a lot cheaper. I mean, I think about like...
Look at these Grand
maybe
Bahama people.
Maybe cheaper than Nassau.
So that's
a good thing.
Okay, good. That's good. But, you know, I used to go to summer camp in Eleuthera and just looking at the cost of things like feminine hygiene products in New Providence. And it's obvious by the way that we lobby in New Providence that we're not even considering the impact or how it affects Family Islanders. And I think that's an important aspect for candidates to be able to speak to.
Well, one of the things that's a tip in the kit that folks will see is we encourage folks to be proactive in thinking about this. You don't have to wait till they come to you and react to the things that a candidate might say. Here's what their priorities are. We really want folks to think about what are your top three issues that you think are critical for you, for the country, for your community. But what are those top three? And as you start to think about it in beforehand, when folks come and start talking to you, you're gonna be able to speak very clearly to what that means and what that example might mean. So what that circumstance means for you in Eleuthera or you in Cat Island or you in Adelaide or wherever that might be. Those experiences are unique and you can speak very clearly to its impact on you more so than some general term. It's like your vote is a hugely valuable asset and one that should be earned.
Absolutely. Another sort of quick example, right? I live in Raccoon Town, and I love my raccoon neighbors. They're awesome. But I don't ever hear anybody talking about how the proliferation of wild raccoons impacts local agriculture, and in particular, backyard farming and potential vendors who want to move from backyard farming into the market. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is that the raccoon problem is not even a constituency can solve on its own.
Right.
It requires a national solution with particular specified elements that address the peculiarities of each constituency that deals with the issue. You know, and I think that this toolkit is a great tool to begin the discussion and create an environment in which you then begin to engage politics and campaigners at a deeper level. I got 4 minutes left. Let's get to these texts, eh?
Sure.
And then make sure to tell us where we can, how we can access the handbook. So the first text says, great show as usual. Question, who is winning the race if winning the election was based on posters? I will say that Halston Moultrie, I think it was the independent poster right before he joined the party coalition, because he put a sticker on the old billboard he had. And I just want to say that this boy is a pillar of recycling, upcycling, and repurposing and not wasting unnecessary things. Halston Moultrie and Nassau Village is the winner. Great show. As usual, all these posters on the road, I think the two parties could have used that money to further help the citizens that was out of job during the lockdowns. Tell your guests, this is Nassau, there are no rules. He say, this is Sparta, you're on your own. And you know what? We talk about a lack of imagination. Mm-hmm. All of those posters, I saw so many posters in Cable Beach. I was shocked. I was really shocked that the tourism stakeholders allowed it. But wouldn't it have been awesome if they put like history facts or cultural facts on the back of it or on the big ones, right?
Well, I think that, you know, and I heard one of the folks talking on Stefan's show on Friday, and they referred it to as, you know, ketchup, mustard, and a little bit of relish in a way. Because a slogan and lots of color can't be the way we make big decisions. It just shouldn't be that. That can't be the way. So the emphasis on content or something that could be drawn from this, I think, again, speaks to what this tool is really about, is how do we bring in a more rational approach? How do we, you know, people will inevitably look, they're going to be influenced by party. There's folks who have legacy voting. And we recognize that. But in addition to that, you have to also consider other things. You know, folks also will consider and vote for personality. These two things might get you in the door, but what do they mean afterwards? So we need to think about how we also vote for policy. So what are the plans that are being presented, and how much do you believe in those plans? Mm-hmm. How clearly does it show that if we say we're going to spend money on this thing, where's that money coming from? Or we're going to hire these folks. Well, then who's not going to get hired? And what does that mean? If we're going to do this program, does it come back to my neighborhood, my backyard? Am I going to benefit from that? And so this was also designed to support those many new voters that were coming in. That was the biggest goal, ultimately, from this group, was making sure that those first-time voters who had an information base that could trust and be very clear. A lot of those folks might have gotten boxed out by the snap election, but for those that didn't, we want to make sure they can see this as a resource.
Listen, I want to thank you for sort of joining the conversation at the first part. I think the callers and the audience appreciated that and an opportunity to throw some questions at you. One of the questions I had was, like, how can civil society and the Parliamentary Registration Department work together to ensure equitable and equal access to voting? It turns out I'm going to have to call you back a second time, you know, for that conversation. But it's so important for us to understand this snap election in and of itself is a massive barrier for young people and for new voters and for people who, but for a major disaster like COVID and Dorian, would not have engaged governance and civil society at this level.
And I think that's two things I want to point to. Again, find it at orgtransparency.com. Look for voter resources. All that information is there, free and available. Also, though, there's tips in the kit that talk about being safe. Don't let people in your room, in your home. You know, talk to them through the door. Ask them to give you a call. Get digital information instead of paper information. When you go to the polls, keep your eyes about you, keep your wits about you. And if it looks too chaotic, take your time. You know, we want people to be safe in this. We don't want to see a backlash from this situation. So help us to minimize that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell them where to find the document again.
They can, again, go to orgtransparency.com or find us at Citizen Solutions Center 242 on Facebook.
Right. If you have a new voter or a young new voter in your house, help them link to this document. Also, you can go to elections.gov.bs, and that is the website for the Parliamentary Registration Department. And they have lots of information there as well for new voters, for old voters that don't remember how the thing go.
And the advanced polling information.
Absolutely. I would like to thank you for joining me today, this Tuesday, the 31st of August. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas. Thank you.